This is Tony Roberts, and you're listening to WBAI in New York, the voice of truth since 1960.
Yeah. Hold on.
Looking forward to all the questions you'll be asking.
No, I don't really have questions. I'm gonna let you talk about whatever you want.
Okay.
We should talk about your event coming up at the Open Center. I know at least that much. But I love the topic. I would like to touch on it a little bit.
Yeah, no, that would be great. But if you feel like asking anything, just
come on and join me. I'll be waiting by the shore. Stand in a circle with loving arms around you.
Okay, so
yeah, to come to the river
here,
where the mighty
so
waters
go.
And as the river unwinds, you'll see the turns of your life. The healing waters flow. There will
listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and today I am going to be joined by a very special guest. And my guest today is Lorna Byrne, and she is an amazing author, but also one who does amazing work in the world. I'm just in so many ways impressed and very much engage with the work that she has been doing and continues to do on behalf of humanity. So let me tell you a little bit about Lorna. She's really something. She is an inspiration to millions of people around the world. She sees angels physically, like you would see a person sitting in front of you. Lorna has been featured extensively in worldwide television, radio, and print media, including CNN, NBC, Today, the BBC, the London Times, The Economist, and many others. And Lorna invited Betty Williams, the Nobel laureate, to New York to help promote peace between Sunni and Shiite Muslims. She is the author of 7 best-selling books, including Angels in My Hair, A Message of Hope from the Angels, and Love from Heaven, and has been published in more than 30 countries and 50 languages around the world. She is also the founder of the Lorna Byrne Children's Foundation, helping vulnerable and marginalized children across the globe. In 2019, she was named as one of the 100 most spiritually influential living people in the world by the Watkins Magazine. And she is joining us today and will be offering an event coming up soon, and we'll talk about that as well. But first, I just wanted to say hello and welcome Lorna Byrne to our show, Heart of Mind.
And well, I would love to say hello and welcome to you, Catherine, yourself, and all the listeners. It's just an honor to talk on your show and to meet you. And I know I, as you said, I had met you once before a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So I'm just delighted to be here. And of course, I'm looking forward to the online event as well.
Yeah, it's going to be at the Open Center, and we're going to tell people all about that. It's coming up quite soon, actually. So for those of you who want to take a pen and write that down, it's on Saturday, July 17th from 12 to 4 p.m., and you would go to opencenter.org, and you can register there for the event. And it's amazing, the whole idea, the name of it is Getting to Know You, How to Connect to Your Soul and Move Our Life Forward. So, you know, perhaps from my theme song you could discern that I'm very much connected to the impact of our soul on our lives and that connection. Though I don't know how I would advise other people to connect with their souls, I'm really glad to have you, first of all, at this event, but also here to talk to people about their soul. So before we get to our souls, I know that you were introduced into the world through your communication with angels, and I'm wondering if you could tell us a little something about angels and that interaction. And as you said, I did meet you before, and you meet, I'm sure, millions of people, so I don't expect you to remember something that is memorable to me, but I can remember you describing to me my own guardian angel, and I remember at that point not really having much thought about angels or guardian angels. But since then, I've cultivated a kind of a relationship that I might never have known had I not spoken to you. So I'm wondering if you can share something with our listeners about the life of angels and their connection to us.
That is just a lovely question, Catherine. And that is one thing that a lot of people would say, you know, they weren't aware of their guardian angel. They never had that contact or that communication, and for me it's normal, it's my everyday life, it's nothing unusual. But I have You know, if I was out on the street now, I would see, you know, a person walking down the road and I would see their guardian angel with them. Everyone has a guardian angel. And I love that because it means that no one is ever alone. You know, your guardian angel believes in you and loves you unconditionally. And to your guardian angel, you are its number one. They are incredible spiritual beings. And your guardian angel is just, what would I say, goes everywhere with you. And is neither male nor female. But if you feel your guardian angel is female, I think the angels do that for us personally because we feel we need our guardian angel to be female or we feel we need it to be male. I always say it's what one might feel they're lacking in themselves. And just to see, you know, even on a day you might be feeling lonely or down in yourself or a little sad, you know, I know that in the future, everyone will be able to see each other's guardian angel and your own guardian angel. But if you're feeling, you know, as I said, down or sad, you can be reassured that your guardian angel is embracing you and loving you. And sometimes people would say to me, Lorna, but sorry, my voice is a little hoarse because I've been talking so much. Mm. But sometimes somebody would say to me, but how could, you know, a neighbor have a guardian angel because they're not very nice or something like that. But everyone has a guardian angel and they are the gatekeeper of your soul. It's the one angel that cannot, you know, leave you for one second. It's always there with you. And even when your human body dies, it's your guardian angel that takes hold of your soul and brings you straight to heaven, carries you in that loving embrace. And to me, that's incredible. I always feel, you know, so privileged in one sense that it's normal and natural for me. And I do pray and ask God to help to open people's hearts so that they will feel the presence of the guardian angel, so that they will become, you know, conscious of our soul and not be afraid and hear those, what would I say, you know, that guidance that your guardian angel gives you. I always say, you know, your guardian angel will never ask you to do anything wrong. So your guardian angel won't ask you to be mean or angry or to hurt someone or to be spiteful or anything at all that is negative towards another human being or nature. It'll only tell you to be kind and loving, to be compassionate and caring. And, you know, sometimes we get in our mind, you know, that we should go right and everybody else is telling us, no, you should go left. And of course, the human self of us will go right instead of left of the way your guardian angel was telling you. And many of us know that at times in our lives, we say to ourselves, I knew I should have gone the other way. Well, that was your guardian angel. They are great, great teachers. I always say, if your guardian angel says to you, or the thought comes into your mind, you know, pick up that pen. Don't ask, you know, what does that mean? Don't say to yourself, why should I bother? And sometimes I would say to someone, you know, don't be lazy, you know, because sometimes that can be what stops you from responding, because your guardian angel wants you to respond so that when something is really important, you know, you will go and do it or you will say the right thing. And your guardian angel wants you to get to the stage where you say, I did that myself because it loves you unconditionally. So I don't know what else I could say, but...
Well, that's a lot, and I think that's very helpful to people. But when you describe what the guardian angel would guide us, the way they would guide us to be, it makes me think not very many people are in touch with their guardian angels when we look at the world today. So how does the guardian angel cope with being a guardian of someone who's doing really nasty things?
I know that's hard for us to understand as human beings. One thing about, you know, if someone is doing nasty, bad things, the guardian angel still loves them unconditionally, you know, and won't give up prompting them to do the right thing or giving them the feelings of love and compassion. The guardian angel won't give up at all because it can't, because God appointed that guardian angel to be the gatekeeper of that person's soul. And to me, that is incredible, because there's always hope that that person will change. And that's where I would bring in, you know, even prayer. We should, you know, not just pray for ourselves or our family or our friends, but we should pray for the stranger, the person we don't know. And at the moment, I think we should be calling on God and the angels, you know, even the souls of loved ones, to help us to listen, to help our hearts to change, to be full of love and compassion. And not all of this bitterness and wanting revenge. And there's so much negative going on there. And yet behind it all, there is so much love. There's so much compassion. There's millions of people out there, you know, being so good. Mm-hmm. And we just find it hard because of all of the negative things in the world to see the good that's there.
Yes.
But it is there.
I agree with you. I think that most people that I've met in my life have been striving for good at the very least. I don't think I've met any truly what one might characterize as evil. But what does that, with all of this being said, how should we think of our soul? What is a soul really? And what is the connection to God or the divine world?
Another beautiful question, Catherine, you're asking. The only way I can describe it to you is that your soul, everyone's soul, is the spark of light of God. You know, it is so tiny, but yet so enormous. And it is complete love. It's only love. There's no anger or no hate or anything there. And I know in one of the books I had written, I think it's called Angels at My Fingertips, I had told the story of when God allowed me to see a soul being created. And God gave a visual appearance of himself, but the visual appearance of a heart. And one could call that a symbol in one sense for us to understand. And the only way I can describe is God taking a little piece, so tiny, a little piece of his heart and putting it into his palm of his hand. And it glowing so bright and growing. And within that, I could see, what would you say, the human being as well, that the soul was going to be conceived at the same moment that whatever baby in the world that that soul was going to would be conceived at the same time. And as well, the guardian angel going with that soul at that very same moment. It's a question I always ask God, why? Sometimes me as a human being, when I look on the world and see all of the negative things, all the bad things happening in the world, I just cry and I just say to God, I don't understand what you saw in us and why you fell in love with us and gave us a soul. And your soul means that, you know, you never die. You live forever. And your soul is perfect in every way. And it is that connection that we need to make back to our human self. And we need to make that connection back to our soul to realize that we're not just, you know, human beings, we're a spiritual being as well. And to allow that intertwining and not to be afraid. I suppose the world in one sense is afraid of what we call the supernatural, but that is what angels are. That's what God is. They're in this sense, the unexplained in that way. But I would just say to you, every single human being has a guardian angel. And because I see the guardian angel with everyone, whether they're good or bad, it doesn't matter who they are, and they have a soul. And to me, that's, you know, we have the opportunity to change, and we can change. And I believe we will. And I believe we're on that path as well. That's why God has me doing what I'm doing. And I'm just reaching out to all of you. And you have the choice. You have that free will. You can change too if you want to. And you can believe you have a guardian angel, and you can start to acknowledge that you have this beautiful soul as well, and allow that intertwining to happen.
Mm. I do a lot of reading, and I like to listen to people speak on these things. And recently I was listening actually to a rabbi, and he was saying that we have it backwards in the sense that we think that life is short and death is permanent. He was saying that life is permanent and death is short in the sense that once we transition from one, our sort of three-dimensional life, we continue on to, through having a soul, to a transitional life of some kind. I don't know what that means exactly, but there's a real, if we begin to think of ourselves as that, having that eternity that is given to us through that soul, it can be very comforting. And I was thinking about people who lost loved ones in the last couple of years, and there's been a lot of sickness and a lot of suffering in the world, but it makes me wonder if incidents such as this doesn't in some way make humanity more ripe for belief or for contemplation of their soul and their and what God is in relationship to themselves.
Yes, I agree with you. I think through, you know, all just of what you have said there, all of what's happening, all of our loss and everything like that, all of our suffering, I think it is the world today, in a sense, is reaching out more than ever before, you know, to find out the meaning of life, to find out, you know, do I have a soul? I have so many people, rabbis as well, of all faiths that would ask me the one question, you know, sometimes they ask, you know, do they have a soul? And yes, you have. You don't die. It's only the human body that dies. But a time will come when both intertwine and the human body won't die. You do live forever and ever, for eternity, whatever word you wish to use. And I think that's an important thing to remember when you lose a loved one. You know, they're not dead. They're there with you. They're in heaven as well. They're perfect, you know, in every single way, because the soul is perfect. And the soul, what would I say, because of that human connection to our soul, and if we allow it to even happen more, you will feel the presence of your soul. You will feel that intertwining. But I think one wonderful thing is that, you know, when the human body dies, the soul has all of the essence of that person, but it never takes anything negative or bad with it. And even if you lost a loved one, and let's say you never got to say goodbye, or maybe someone had said to me the other day they were so angry over a suicide, you know, why did they do it? But you can be sure that that soul is in heaven and is being loved by God and is being wrapped in that blanket. And, you know, that loved one never meant to hurt anyone. They were just in a very dark place, and the world couldn't help them, you know, for so many reasons, to get out of that dark place. But their guardian angel was there with them. It's just like a little girl that had said to me, you know, I think they were Jewish. That was their faith. But to me, she was just a little girl, and she was with her mom, and, you know, we're not meant to be here. And the question the little one wanted to know was, you know, did her daddy have a guardian angel? And I said, yes, her daddy had a guardian angel. And she turned to her mom and said, see, I told you daddy wasn't alone. Mm. You know, and no one ever dies alone, because the guardian angel is there with them. But you live forever. Mm-hmm. Just what you said. You know, and that is all because of your soul. There's so many questions you could ask, but that connection, we need to allow ourselves to make more freely. And in a sense, the world is in a state of turmoil, and during this state of turmoil, we are, what would you say, opening up spiritually more. We're crying out in that way, and sometimes that's all very hard to understand. And I know we will get out of these troubles, but one thing I do know is that we have to change as well. You know, we can't continue on the way we have been. So we have to, in a sense, humanly allow that connection to happen stronger to our soul, and that connection to our guardian angel, to God, mm-hmm. and allow our hearts, the human part of us, you know, to be more compassionate. I can't understand why people hate their neighbor or hate someone else in another country, or, you know, say horrific things or hurt someone. I can't understand humanly why we're killing each other, in a sense, or trotting or starving, you know, children, or having people work in horrific conditions. I know if you all saw what I see every day, if you could see someone else's guardian angel, I don't think you could treat that human being in the same way that human being is being treated today.
I do agree with you in that regard, and I think if people can begin to connect with their soul, as you said, and begin to really weave that intelligence, that guidance into our lives, it would be the same. That if we connect to that really radiant part of ourselves, then we couldn't really turn against another human being, because we would know that we're all the same in that regard. So, but what's really interesting is that it seems to me that even though the soul comes to us from God, that the soul suffers, and in that regard there must be a way in which God suffers with the struggle and the pain that we are creating on the earth. So I wonder if sometimes if when people do get depressed, it's because their soul is sad or something like that.
That's another lovely question. And I'm asking God and the angels, how can I answer that for you? Because it's a very deep deep question. Your soul loves you so much, and I know, what would I say, God loves us, and he doesn't want us to suffer. I think our soul can't be sad in the way that, in the sense that you're describing, in that way, because that's a human way. But I know in another way that, how can I say this? God sometimes does be sad for us that we are punishing ourselves in what we're doing to ourselves, and we don't have to. We have the free will. We don't have to be doing. I know there would be no depression or no anxiety or anything like that if we allowed ourselves to connect freely to our soul. And there would be no such thing as, you know, trauma, you know, all of the things that we go through. Your soul is just pure love, pure love. It's even hard to describe that, you know, and I have tried so many times in the books that I have written. It's like our soul wants to, God wants to intertwine with us humanly, and it's like a plait, you know, in that way, if you can imagine that intertwining in that way, and wants to help us to become both human and soul together, that intertwining, and to be just so pure and so, just imagine what the world would be like, you know, if we allow this to happen, as one of the futures I've been shown is where, you know, children look at blades of grass and flowers and they see so much more than what we see today, you know, and seeing those children, you know, crossing the river without a bridge. You know, that was where the soul and the human body had intertwined together. Our soul doesn't be sad, and God does only be sad in the sense of, like a father would be or a mother would be when they know their child is hurting, and especially when they know that they didn't have to hurt. You know, God has given us this beautiful planet for free, given us this incredible life to each and every one of us, and yet, you know, we take it all for granted. And if someone is feeling sad, I think they should reach out for all the help they can get humanly, but again, to know that their guardian angel is there with them and that they are loved. And I know depression and anxiety and all of those things can be very frightening to a person, but I believe the world has caused an awful lot of that fear. And I think we have to step forward in that fear to conquer it in that way.
Yes, I really do agree with you. And it's interesting, when I was a very little girl, maybe 2 or 3, I had these invisible friends, which I considered to be angels at the time, because, you know, I grew up in my early life Catholic, and I took it all very much to heart. But I found that once I started growing up and becoming more involved in the ceremonial aspect of the religion and the dogmas of the religion, that I got cut off from that. And I'm wondering if you can speak to people about, you know, some people find their path in religion and some people don't. So how can people feel confident that they can find a path that is, you know, not prescribed to them from some kind of belief system?
Well, I think in one sense that's actually good if you can do that, because so many people are torn apart by all the different religions, you know, and lots of people are saying now that they don't belong to any at all. But yet they are growing spiritually. Yet they know that there's more to life. They have, in a sense, received signs within their life, you know, that they have no explanation for. And, you know, they have become more open, and they're good people, you know, and they try to be good, and they try to do the right thing all of the time. I know even, you know, what has happened in the Catholic Church around the world is horrific. But I know what has happened in so many religions. It's all about power. It's not about God. It's not about, you know, that unconditional love. You know, it's in a sense about, you know, control and things like that. And God has never shown me, what would I say, I'm never to have control over anyone. I have to just give you the message, you know, and you have the free will to believe or not. You know, you have that choice. And I just believe people all over the world are reaching out and making that choice now, because they want to, in a sense, to discover themselves, find out who they are. And they want to make that connection to their soul. And the only thing I can ever say to anyone, God is real. Why should you wait till your human body dies to discover that? Discover it now and change. Let us all change for the better.
Yes, I think that's very good counsel. And I just wanted to remind everyone that we are speaking with Lorna Byrne, and she's going to have an event at the Open Center. It's an afternoon event, Saturday, July 17th, 2021, from 12 until 4 p.m. And it's Getting to Know You, How to Connect to Our Soul to Move Our Life Forward. And I think this is a question that we're all looking for. Not everyone might connect it to the soul, but everyone is looking to be able to move their life forward, to come to resolution, to find some peace, and to be able to get back into a balanced state. So for those of you who want to participate in this, you can go to the Open Center, opencenter.org, and you will be able to register for the event. Their phone number is 212-219-2527, or you can send an email, info@opencenter.org. And just as a reminder that the Open Center and this radio station are in partnership, so if you tell them that you are coming to them from WBAI, you're able to register for this at the Open Center membership, not as the higher tuition that would be there. So it's a good opportunity for you to participate and enjoy and benefit from what Lorna has to share with you. And again, that's opencenter.org. It's Saturday, July 17th from 12 to 4 p.m. So Lorna, maybe you can tell us a little bit about what people will experience with you on this day.
Well, one thing I'm really looking forward to is that day, you know, when I'm online with everyone. And, you know, I'm looking forward to maybe doing some exercises with them, talking with them, asking them, you know, they asking questions. I always think the one very important thing is when people ask questions, you know, even in a sense, how do they get to know themselves? How do they get to make that connection? And it can be different for everyone. So I'm really looking forward to inspiring people and, you know, giving them the blessing afterwards as well. I think everyone, every time I do an online, you know, and I know lots of things have been online for such a long time, but I always hear back an awful lot of positiveness. And sometimes I do hear back, you know, you know, the questions that weren't asked by people. Or sometimes then people would come back and say they have done that exercise and how that exercise helped to make that connection, help them to step forward, you know, to move in life, you know, to put, you know, that fear away, to put that trauma away in the sense of learning how to deal with it and not allowing it to rule one's life. The main thing really is, you know, to, you know, getting to know yourself and, you know, moving forward in life is trusting you. You have to trust yourself. And that is one thing your guardian angel helps you to do, is to trust yourself. The spiritual side of you helps you to do that. And grasping onto that, trusting yourself and stepping forward and not allowing the fear of stepping forward and of taking over your life. We have to step through that fear, even though fear at times is there to protect us. But sometimes we allow it to protect us too much that we don't do anything and we become imprisoned. But we need to, instead of allowing it to be just all fear, turn it into strength. Let it be your strength and step forward in life and make those decisions that you need to make to allow yourself to feel peaceful and happy and know that you are unique. You know, there's no one else in the world like you. And I always say to people, don't be trying to copy someone else, because you can never do that. Be you, because what you do, it's like if you draw a picture and everyone else has drawn the same picture of the same flower, but each picture will be different. You draw it your way. So you draw where you're going next your way.
Excellent. Would you mind taking a few calls if people want to call in and ask you something? Okay, the number is 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877, and we will bring your call into the conversation. I do have a question as we're waiting. We only have about 10 minutes left anyway. When we are at conception and the little tiny heart from the God heart comes into us, is it a baby soul or is it like a full-grown soul? Does it grow up with us?
Oh, God, that is a beautiful question. How would I say? Your soul is, and I've never been asked this question before, your soul is already perfect because it's that spark of light of God. It's neither a baby soul or a grown-up soul in that human way that you speak of. But the one incredible thing is that all that conception, all of that happens at the very same time. How would I say, you know, even when I as a child was playing with my little baby brother and the time our hands touched and all of the sparks went everywhere and all the love, and I broke my heart laughing, and the angels turned around and told me that my little brother had died before I was born, and yet there he was sitting in front of me, playing with me, doing the same things that I was doing, putting those blocks on top of each other. It's really a hard question to answer because your soul knows everything. Mm-hmm. You know everything. You know the answers to all the mysteries in the world. It's just we're finding it difficult to put it into human words.
Okay, so we have two calls. Hopefully we can get both in. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. As always, a fantastic program.
Okay, always. Try to speak up.
Thank you to both of you for such a great program. I wanted to just make a statement to to Sister Lorna. She was talking about fear and fear of manifesting your true self, your power, you know, your special power, your special gifts. I have come to understand that many times it manifests through denying yourself of sleep. You know, I can't remember how they spoke about in health, one of the most powerful tools to heal the body is sleep. And I find in this day and age, and I've come to understand it in my own self, that I have a tendency to deny myself of sleep when I'm afraid of moving forward in an aggressive way, because lack of sleep does not allow you to do so. It is the way the body is made up. And I think that we should all look at that and stay awake to that tendency. The sister has spoke about how when your inner spirit speaks to you, one of the tools that you must have is the ability, the energy, to move to your own dictates, your inner dictates, you know. And I find that when we deny ourselves of sleep, that we're unable to do that. And I see it time and time again in myself and in other people that I know. And I wanted to bring that up to her. And then just one other thing, I happen to be a Buddhist, but there are other different teachings that speak to other people. And I find that when I speak about, I use the term goodness, I'm able to keep people from closing to me when I dialogue about, you know, just understanding how to define, not name it as being a particular teaching, but just in a general way, something that creates value.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to hear that, Lorna?
I didn't hear it all. Clearly, but I did hear her talking about sleep and fear, and moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing for herself or for anyone, you know, whatever you find, you know, helps you to move forward in life is important. But I think sleep is important as well for the human body. It is important for the energy and for, you know, our mind to be clear to hear. But sometimes, you know, you may not need, some people don't need as much sleep as others. All as they need to do is rest, you know, and sometimes just for a few moments, and their energy all comes back up and they're not afraid to, you know, to take that step forward, or whether it's a phone call they have to make, or, you know, put themselves out there. It's to allow yourself to release all of the energy that is within you, and, you know, for it to go and not to become disconnected from you at all. I because I didn't hear exactly all what she was saying, I'm not even sure if I'm answering her question even a little bit.
No, I think you are. She mentioned also that she is actually a Buddhist and she speaks to people about goodness as a way of conveying the message, and she wanted to share that with you.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. I have to say thank you to her, and goodness, you know, as often as we can, to show goodness to others and to nature is very important. Even if that is a smile, it can change things. That smile can save someone's life.
Excellent. I'm going to take the next caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, please speak up.
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, I have a metaphysical question, perhaps you would be comfortable answering or able to answer. I hope to formulate it quickly enough and clearly enough. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Great, thank you. So a question I have had about the metaphysical realm, the energetic realm, is whether or not, I wonder if there is a situation of predation where there are forces that energy, so speaking very, you know, that seek to consume energy from human souls. I know this sounds, you know, out there, but this is an out there conversation. You know, we consume to survive. And are there entities which find our soul energy a source of sustenance? And if that is the case, is there something we can do about that? And yeah, thank you for your answer.
Thank you.
Again, a question that I don't actually really like talking about the other side, but one thing I would say to you is that no entity or nothing can take, you know, energy from your soul or take substance. I'm dyslexic, so I can't pronounce every word, from your soul either, because your soul is more powerful than anything else out there in the universe. And I think that's what she was referring to, and how can you stop it? You know, if you, what would you say, believe that something can, in that sense, you have to tell yourself nothing can, because nothing can. That's only you allowing the negative affect your human body, not your soul. So I don't know if that's answering, because again, on my end, it was a little crackly. I had to listen very hard to try and hear.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate feature of the way we're communicating. But I think you did answer the question, and it was very powerful to say that you're taking negative energy into your body, that your soul is incorruptible, is what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay, we have one more call we'll try to get in, but you must be very quick. Hello, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. First of all, you have a great guest. Ma'am, the words you're saying, I feel them in my gut. Okay, powerful. I have a question. Being that it was just a Buddhist on, it's kind of funny. Because I wanted to ask you is about reincarnation, because I've met people that I swear I already knew. And I don't know if it's just me being goofy or what. So it doesn't happen often, but there have been times I've met people and it's like, I know this person. And we just click, like right away, boom. So I really want to know about if there's reincarnation, if there's the possibility of reincarnation, and when you have past love that dies, is there a possibility to meet back up with them? Because my dad just died. My parents were together for 40 years. And it would be nice to be able to tell my mother, really tell her, you're going to be with this guy again. So those are my brief questions.
They're two lovely questions, and you can tell your mom that yes, she will meet your dad again, because his soul is in heaven and he's perfect. He's that young man that she had met long ago. So tell her not to worry about that, and I'm sure his soul does be around you all when you need him. So ask your dad to give you a sign, or, you know, whatever, to give you confidence within yourself. You don't die. No one dies. So your dad is very much alive. It's only the human body that has died. And you asked about reincarnation. Well, you asked a few questions within that. So what I will just say to you, because I know we're short for time and it's only partly answering it, reincarnation does happen, but it's actually quite rare. It doesn't happen as often as we think it does. And the other part of your question was, when you meet someone and you believe you had known them before, what way can I describe that shortly? That can be where you have actually, as your soul, met them, their soul in heaven before they were even conceived, and that connection is there.
Wow.
That's the shortest way I can answer it for you for now.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we can have another conversation sometime to go deeper into this. But I want to remind people that Lorna Byrne will be at the Open Center Saturday, July 17th from 12 to 4 p.m. for a program, Getting to Know You, How to Connect to Our Soul to Move Our Life Forward. And you can go to opencenter.org to find out all about it. And we just have another minute, Lorna, if you want.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If you want to share something, yes.
Well, I'm looking forward to the Open Center, and I know it's online. And I'm hoping, you know, and asking God that many people will sign up for it. But one thing I'd love to do for everyone, and that is just to say this prayer before we go, and thank you all, and thank you, Catherine. It's the prayer that Archangel Michael gave me long ago. So I'm just going to say it now for you all and ask for the blessings that you need. Prayer of thy healing angels that's carried from God by the Archangel Michael. Pour out thy healing angels, thy heavenly host, upon you all and upon those that you love. Let you all feel the beam of the healing angels upon you, the light of his healing hand. Let the healing begin, whatever way God grants. God bless us all. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
From WPFW in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Sue Goodwin. Today is Friday, July 9th. Here are some headlines. 14-year-old Zayla Avant-Garde.
Thank you very much. I love that.
Spelling bee.
I enjoyed it. And you had interesting questions.
Since the annual competition
began
in 1925.
You know, in that sense,
the first black winner was Jodi Ann Maxwell, a 12-year-old from Jamaica, who won the bee in 1998.
It's not just one question.
Not only is Zayla Avant-Garde a spelling phenom, she already set three Guinness World Records for dribbling, bouncing, and juggling basketballs, all before the ninth grade. According to a video posted on the official Guinness World Records Twitter page, Zayla started dribbling when she was just 5 years old and hopes to one day become a professional basketball player and join the WNBA.
Life is precious, and I need you.
Texas Republican lawmakers on Thursday unveiled their full plan for new restrictions on voting access in the state. The proposed election overhaul would be one of the most comprehensive of those being pushed by GOP lawmakers in red states across the country. The Texas bills in the state Senate and the state House would ban 24-hour voting and drive-through voting. They would also bar election officials from sending absentee ballots to voters who haven't asked for them and add restrictions on people voting by mail. The plans would also tighten rules on third-party ballot collection, among other changes. The bills leave out limits on Sunday voting and regulations making it easier to overturn elections, two of the more controversial provisions in the initial version of the Texas GOP's election overhaul proposal. Toyota Motor Corporation's Political Action Committee will halt donations to U.S. members of Congress who voted against President Joe Biden's election certification in January, the company said on Thursday. The largest Japanese automaker has faced harsh criticism after it was reported that Toyota made $56,000 in total donations to 38 of the 147 Republican lawmakers who voted against Biden's electoral certification. It was the most any company directly
Okay. You're listening to WBAI in New York. I'm Catherine Davis, and I seem to be having some difficulty. So I hope that you will stand by for just a moment, and we'll see if we can get this going again.
Competition began in 1925. The first black winner was Jody Ann Maxwell, a 12-year-old from Jamaica, who won the Bee in 1998. Not only is Zaila Avant-Garde a spelling phenom, she already set 3 Guinness World Records for dribbling, bouncing, and juggling basketballs, all before the ninth grade.